Patristic Nectar Publications is pleased to present A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace, Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe. These short meditations reveal the ancient wisdom of the Church Fathers and apply it to 21st century Christian living. And now, His Grace, Bishop Irenae.
John the Golden-Mouthed, Archbishop of Constantinople, begins his most famous homily on the Nativity of our Lord and God and Saviour, Jesus Christ. I behold a new and a wonderful mystery. I find that this is a text on which I am ever more frequently called to reflect, as it is a text which, with a particular grace and majesty, draws the heart of its hearer into the experience of the birth of the Son of God. It is not so much a homily as it is a song sung by the great orator to the glory of his Maker on the day of his birth. One can only imagine the great Archbishop standing there in the Cathedral of Constantinople before the throngs of the faithful who were known to gather specifically to hear his remarkable homilies, but who, for all of their great expectations, would have been stunned into silence by his words on this feast. For as St. John preaches the coming of the Lord in the flesh, his soul can do nothing but sing in exultation at the wonder his eyes and his heart behold. "My ears resound to the shepherd's song," he cries out. That song pipes no soft melody, but they are chanting full forth a heavenly hymn. The angels are singing. The archangels blend their voices in harmony. The cherubim hymn their joyful praise. The seraphim exalt his glory. All join praise to this holy feast, beholding our Godhead here on earth and man in heaven. He who is above now for our redemption dwells here below, and he that was lowly is by divine mercy raised. Can we imagine what it must have been like to be in church on that day, as this great saint, whose tongue always sang the glories of God, on this occasion hymned them with such elevated beauty? And that beauty that comes, that elevation that comes in St. John's homily for this feast, comes from the nature of the miracle itself. His words are exalted because he beholds creation exalted. His words resound with joy because on this day, above all days, creation sings with joy. All elements of creation, he says, join praise to this holy feast. And so too do we, beholding, as did St. John, God here on earth, and what is more, man lifted up to heaven. I would like, in this broadcast and the next, simply to reflect on a few sections from this most remarkable Nativity homily. Today I would like to draw our minds towards a few passages that deal in particular with the Lord coming forth from the Virgin's womb. For we know from our experience and the testimony of the Church that on this feast of the Lord's Nativity we celebrate not only the remarkable act of a loving God, but also the pure offering of creation to participate in that beautiful self-offering. This is how St. John introduces the offering of the Virgin into the Feast of the Nativity. "Kings have come," he writes, "and they have seen the heavenly King that has come upon the earth, not bringing with him angels, nor archangels, nor thrones, nor dominions, nor powers or principalities, but treading a new and a solitary path, he has come forth instead from a spotless womb." This heavenly birth cannot be described, St. John continues, neither does his coming amongst us in these days permit us to have too much scrutiny of his mysteries. Though I know that a virgin this day gave birth, and I believe that God was begotten before all time, yet the manner of this generation I have learned to venerate in silence, and I accept this, that it is not to be probed too curiously with my wordy speech. For with God we do not look to the order of nature, but rest our faith in the power of him who works. Isn't this a remarkable observation? An orator known for his words, able to describe the great mysteries of God, finds himself venerating, as he says, in silence. For there are certain mysteries which human words simply cannot describe. And the coming forth in the flesh, in time, of a spotless womb, of the one who is eternally begotten, beyond time, beyond creation, is a mystery that no human tongue can but confess. It is impossible to explain it, to articulate it, only to confess a belief in the God who works wonders. And a remarkable observation as well, one that stirs the heart of the faithful, that with God, as St. John says, we do not look for the order of nature, but we rest our faith in him who works. Too often Christian people believe creation, our lives, even God himself, in some sense to be trapped by the natural order. And philosophers and theologians for centuries have struggled with the questions of how or if God can operate beyond the natural law or the order that has been fashioned. And yet, for the heart of the faithful, we witness that which is beyond nature, and we witness it every day. But the reality of God's ability to move beyond the laws of nature are summed up for us in these feasts which proclaim the miracle of his wonders working in the world. What shall I say to you? What can I tell you? St. John continues. I behold a mother who has brought forth. I see a child come to this light by birth. The manner of his conception I cannot comprehend. Nature here rested, while the will of God labored. Oh, what ineffable grace! The only begotten, who is before all ages, who cannot be touched or perceived, who is simple, without body, has now put on my body, that is visible, that is liable to corruption. And for what reason? That coming amongst us, the saint continues, he may teach us, and teaching lead us by the hand to the things we cannot see. For since men believe that the eyes are more trustworthy than the ears, they doubt of that which they do not see. And so he has deigned to show himself in bodily presence, that he may remove all doubt. The condescension of the incarnation, the mercy of the Son coming in the flesh, is effected solely for our redemption, solely to reach out to us who require that grace, to enable us to be firm in faith in that which we could not see, but which is now made visible. Returning to the person of the Theotokos, St. John speaks aloud, Christ, finding the holy body and the soul of the Virgin, builds for himself a living temple, and as he had willed, formed there a man from the Virgin, and putting him on this day came forth, unashamed of the lowliness of our nature. For it was to him no lowering to put on what he himself had made. Let that handiwork then for ever be glorified, which became the cloak of its Creator. For as in the first creation of flesh, man could not be made before the clay had come into his hand, so neither could this corruptible body be glorified until it had first become the garment of its maker. My brothers and sisters, what a wonder we too behold as we approach together the nativity of our Lord and God and Savior Jesus Christ. We who offer our hearts unworthily, echoing the worthy offering of Our Lady, the Theotokos, and the ever-Virgin Mary, prepare to receive into our life that same wonder so perfectly manifest in hers. And just as her nature was taken up by Christ, that he might recreate and refashion in his image anew that which had fallen in sin, so our nature also, yours and mine, becomes glorified, becomes the cloak of its creator, as the saint says. And though this is a condescension, a lowering on God's part to our created stature, St. John proclaims he could not think of it as a lowering to take for himself that which he had fashioned. Instead, he takes our nature, yours and mine and that of every human person. He makes it his own. He makes it his own garment. He makes it his own flesh and blood, and born into the world in it, reveals the kingdom, invisible to our eyes, but newly present through the grace and the wonder of this feast. May we, approaching the nativity of our Savior, be filled with that wonder. May we learn to cherish, to treasure, to prize this creation which God has fashioned of each of us, that we may offer it to Him, that it may be glorified and sanctified.
We hope you have enjoyed listening to A Word from the Holy Fathers by His Grace Bishop Irenae of London and Western Europe, offered to you by Patristic Nectar Publications, nourishing the spiritually thirsty with the sweet teachings of the Holy Fathers.